Praise God. We are here in the studio. Running in a little late, so hang on, everybody. We'll get going here. Woo! What a day. What a day. It's a great day. Praise God. Glad everybody's joining us today for Living the Good Life from Clearwater, Florida, Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing the word to you today, along with my radio team, a couple members, Betty, Cindy, Nan's here too. So we're going to have quite a great time with the word today. So always a joy to be on the air with you and to be able to talk about the Lord and what he's doing in each of our lives, because he is doing some mighty things in our lives, and he is changing us and bringing us closer to him as we enjoy spending time in his presence, because that's what it's all about, spending time in the presence of the Lord. So the next couple hours, actually, because our show's 2 hours, we are going to be talking about all of that. We're going to be talking about spending time with God as we continue in this series that we're in right now, Forever Home. And it's all about heaven and where God is taking us and what he wants to do in our lives as we prepare for that day when we will be forever home. We've been in this series for several weeks now. There's so much to cover, and we've got some really important stuff to talk about today. We encourage you, if you have a prayer need today, to write us at prayers@bohmglobal.com. prayers@bohmglobal.com. And let us hear from you on your prayer requests. And if you write there, then our prayer leaders, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, Betty, who's going to be on here in just a moment, and also Shell, one of those will send out a prayer request and get that out to our radio team to be able to pray for you and your needs. And that's what it's all about. We want to be here for you, all of you, wherever you might be scattered around the globe today. This ministry wants to provide an opportunity for you to get prayer support that you might need with whatever is going on in your life, because prayer is the answer, is it not? And when we take time to pray, when we take time to talk to God about the needs that we each have in our lives, he loves it. He says to... David said in Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress, let me just find it so I can read it accurately right here, because I love this verse. It's always been a big help to me through the years. Something that David said so long ago, and he said it out of his personal experience. And really, that's the best, isn't it? When we can talk about what God has done in our lives because we've experienced it. And it is Psalm 18, verse 6. And David said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. Some of you may need to do that right now. Cry to God for help. And it says here that from his temple, he heard my voice and my cry came before him into his ears. From his temple, he heard my voice. And my cry came before him into his ears. So when we are taking the time to present our needs to God and talk to him and ask for his leading and his guidance in our lives, and really know that he is going to answer our prayers, that he's going to heal our bodies, or he's going to ease emotional pain in our lives, or he's going to provide for us financially, or whatever he's going to do. When we are sincere before the Lord Almighty and we are saying, God, here's my need. I present it to you. And then we follow that up with thanking him and praising him before we see the answer, and just magnifying God for who he is and the greatness of his power. When we do all that, God comes through in mighty ways. And some of you may say, I don't think I got all that you said to do. So the simple thing is just present your need to God. Just talk to him. Just talk to him and say, God, I need you in my life. I need you to help me with this situation right now, whatever it may be. Because when we do that, then peace begins to invade our lives. And that's what it's all about. We want that peace of God that passes all understanding. And so we're going to start today's show with a song that is a blessing to me. I love this song. Let the Peace of God Reign by Hillsong. Great song. And I think it will bless you too right now. Praise God. Let the peace of God, let it rain. And that's all we want in our lives this day. That's all we want. We want the peace of God. And as we talk about heaven today, as we talk about our forever home, we want that peace of God to just fill us to overflowing, because we know that we know that we know that God's got wonderful things in store for us. We're glad you're joining us today. And one of our radio team, either Betty or Cindy's on the line. I don't know which one. You guys can't tell me who you are until you tell it to me. So who are you?
This is BLT.
All right, Betty. How are you, dear? Dear one.
I'm fine, Pastor. How are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to seeing you in a few days, it looks like. So,
yes, ma'am. We're looking forward to it.
Yes. Going to Indiana. It's going to be great. So good to have you join us today, Betty, because we had a powerful service this morning at Beacon of Hope. And we've been talking about heaven, as you know, and talking about being ready for what God has for us. And today we're just going to take it a step further, and we're going to talk about those things that tend to cloud our thinking, keep us from thinking much about our forever home, which is the title of the series. And I think it's so easy, don't you, Betty, that we just get so distracted with everything around us that we don't talk or even think about heaven that much. You want to talk about that?
Well, it's those circumstances that, you know, have a tendency to creep up on us when we least expect it. It's distractions that can keep us from where, you know, thinking about our heavenly home.
Right.
And it's, you know, it can be a short period of time or it can be a long period of time. It's just that we have to become more knowledgeable in the Word of God. On where God wants us and, you know, how God speaks to us through his word.
Yes.
And how we can overcome those distractions by our praise and our prayers.
Right.
They got to keep it alive.
Right.
In our lives. And, it can be very, very hard sometimes, especially when, you know, when the circumstances seem to overwhelm us, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And this morning, I started my sermon in a place I wasn't intending to. You know how that goes, Betty? And I feel that that's a good place to start right here with this show today. In Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom. And we were going to start down at the last part of this, but we're going to start at the beginning of it for just a couple minutes here to set the stage. Because so often, as you just said, Betty, there's so many things in our lives, so many situations that are going on that are distracting us and keeping us from our purpose. And so Jesus talks about this whole concept in Matthew 25 when he's talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. And he says that they were all waiting for the bridegroom. And of course, this is a story Jesus told, not necessarily an event that happened. It's one of those parables where he's giving us an example to help us understand a concept. And that's what he does here in Matthew 25. And he says that these 10 virgins had oil lamps, and they went out to greet the bridegroom. And the bridegroom, it even says it right here. It says there were five, and the Message Bible translates five of these virgins as silly. Silly or distracted or not really into what was going on, right? And then there were five that were called smart, according to the Message Bible. Other translations call them different things, but basically that's what he were talking about. So it says that the silly virgins took lamps, but no extra oil. And that's the point right here. The smart ones took lamps to meet the bridegroom, but it also says they took extra oil. And then this very interesting sentence at the end of verse 5 of Matthew 25, if you're following along, the bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him and they all fell asleep. Now, this whole concept is vital to us understanding what God wants to tell us about heaven in this day and age. Too often, we have heard the story about, yes, Jesus is coming back. We've even heard people say, I think he's coming back this year or that year or whatever. And when Jesus doesn't come back, then I think, Betty, and now Cindy's online too, I feel like a lot of people get so distracted and get so weary of waiting around for Jesus to return that they become like these silly virgins who took no extra oil. And before I ask you both to comment here, I want to explain that oil is always representative of the anointing of God. That's why we anoint people with oil. It is symbolic of the presence of God in our lives. And so in this story, those silly virgins only took enough oil for that particular evening or whatever, and the bridegroom did not come back when they expected. And this is so true of so many people now who have heard the good news of the gospel, know that Jesus is coming back someday, and they've just kind of grown cold to that whole thing. And like, well, I don't know when he's coming back, so I'm just not going to think about it. I'm not going to get ready. I'm not going to prepare. And I'm not going to expect him. Cindy, talk to us about that. And welcome, Cindy Logan.
Hi, everyone. Well, I think that we just kind of procrastinate.
Yes, we
ready.
Do.
As we do in most things in life.
Right.
I think we always think there's going to be more time and that there's always going to be tomorrow.
Right.
But, you know, every time we have a disaster or something, you know, one of these natural disasters
True.
Or tragedy take place, then as, you know, as humans, we kind of freak out and then we like, oh, you know, we open our eyes and say, well, you know, maybe... We're seeing prophecy, we're seeing signs,
right.
We're seeing signs of the time say that it's getting closer to the time. But, I mean, I think it's like it takes something has to happen to arouse our attention to it. Otherwise, we just go through every day just expecting life to go on as we know it.
We do.
You know, we try to guess, maybe we have some kind of idea when Jesus is coming, but, you know, in actuality, when it happens, we're going to be surprised because we don't know. I mean, nobody knows. And we're, you know, one of those days when we say, oh, well, I got another day to take care of that. You know, it's going to be too late. We're not going to have that time.
Well,
I don't know. I just think,
you're right.
Like, in my spirit, I feel this urgency. I
yes.
think God just puts this sense of urgency
yes.
in us who are believers. To say, hey, you know, time is short. We don't
right.
know the hour that he's coming. But
That's right.
we do know with prophecy that there is, it's coming soon.
It's coming
and maybe
soon.
While we're here living on this earth.
It could be.
Ourselves.
Could be.
So there's just an urgency to get ready or at least try to get as many of our loved ones as we can ready is on our hearts, you know.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that's an excellent point. And before I go to you, Betty, I want to go on to verse 6 right here, Matthew 25. In the middle of the night, someone yelled out, he's here. The bridegroom's here. Go out and greet him. And it says in verse 7, the 10 virgins got up and got their lamps ready. The silly virgins, the ones who were not prepared and distracted, said to the smart ones, our lamps are going out. Lend us some of your oil. And they answered, there might not be enough to go around. You go buy your own. And so they left to go buy oil. But the bridegroom arrived when they were gone. And this is so symbolic. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are the bride of Christ. Those that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we are the bride of Christ. And the silly virgins, or the ones that were easily distracted and not prepared, they had to go out and buy oil. They had to try to muster up the presence of God. They weren't used to that oil, the presence of God. And Betty, there's so many people who, as Cindy was just saying so very well, so often people will get saved. They'll be on fire for God for a short time, and they know about heaven. They know it's real, and they know that they need to, you know, try every day to live the best way they can and draw close to God. And, you know, that, in other words, increase the oil, the anointing of God in their lives. But they get distracted and they forget about it. And pretty soon, I got saved, 10 years ago. But, I don't know. I really don't read my Bible. I really don't praise God. There's a lot of people like that, Betty. You want to comment on that, Cindy? Cindy just brought it right home, right there, where we needed it to be. Talk to us. And by the way, so good to talk to you both on the air today. And then in person in a few days. Go ahead.
Yes, to be with both of you. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, I think that when we look at it is that we have to be prepared. And one of the things that the enemy or Satan does not want us to be is prepared for Jesus's return. So what we have is we have the distractions.
Yes.
In the NIV, it calls the foolish ones.
Foolish ones, yes.
And then we have the wise ones.
Yes.
And that's where we have to keep the faith.
Yeah.
We've got to be faithed up, as Cindy had brought back many months ago, brought up. And I think that we have to understand that, you know, that we do not know the time when Jesus is going to, you know, in a blink of an eye, it will happen that quick. So that's why I think Jesus wants us through this parable. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to keep the fire going. He wants us to let our light shine through the darkness. And it's just like that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." And that's what we have to continue to do, no matter the circumstances of what we feel or see, that we know that Jesus is alive. He wants us to keep going.
Right.
He wants us to keep running the race. And it will keep us going by keeping ourselves faithed up through our praise, through the reading of the Word, and keeping that anointing strong, keeping it close to our heart, because what we take in is we let out.
Right.
So if we're reading the Word, we're giving them Jesus.
Good point.
If we're sitting back and we're sitting on our laurels, thinking, "Oh, I got to do yard work today. I'm not going to be able to, you know, I'm going to forsake myself from assembling." Those are the things that the enemy puts upon us.
Sure.
Those things I call circumstances or issues where it will keep us
from
the Word of God and from praising Him and from worshiping Him. So we got to stay on our toes.
We got to stay on our toes, which is perfect for what it says here in the Message Bible. In verse 11 of Matthew 25, after the smart and the wise virgins went into the feast with the bridegroom, the other virgins, the silly ones, what did you call them, Betty? Wise, foolish, the foolish ones.
Foolish.
In verse 11, showed up and knocked on the door, and they said, "Master, we're here. Let us in." And he said, "Do I know you? I don't think I know you. I don't think I know you." And then he said the rest of this, "So stay alert. You have no idea when he might arrive." And for people who get all off on tangents of Jesus is coming back on September the whatever, you know, I've lived a long time now, and I've heard many of those kinds of predictions, and that has not happened. That does not mean Jesus isn't coming back. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. There is a real heaven, and it is and will be our forever home. And it's so interesting that Jesus said to these foolish virgins that did not have the oil, the anointing, the presence of God operating in their lives, he said to them, "You know what? I don't think I know you." You know why? You can't really know someone if you don't communicate with them, if you don't spend time with them. Let's talk about that, Cindy, on just a personal level before we do this next song. How hard is it to be close to somebody that you never talk to or you never see? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, sitting here thinking that happens in our own families. You know, we have sisters or brothers we may have grown up with in our home, but there may be age differences or personality differences. And as we grow up, we're doing our own thing. But looking around now in my personal life with my sisters, we all are so different.
Right.
And we all have our own branch of the family, kids, grandkids, and all that, that if we don't make a conscious effort
yes,
to communicate and
yes,
to see one another, then we just drift apart and we don't, we just don't. We don't
I
know.
I agree.
Like I could this morning was thinking, man, you know, I just wish I had a sister with a big open heart to confide in and just sit down and share all this junk with that I'm going through, because no one, a sister would be one that wouldn't judge you, that would understand, that would listen. And I thought I need to really just call up one of my sisters and say, hey, we need to get together. That would be good for me. But, you know, it just, if we don't make a conscious effort to do that, we just keep all that stuff to ourselves.
Yeah.
We just go through our business. We don't, you know, we don't really interact. You know, if we don't interact and put ourselves out there to be around people, we might miss an opportunity that God has given us.
Yes.
To encounter someone he put in our path, someone who needs
Amen.
To hear the message or,
yes,
you know, some healing we might need for ourselves. Yeah, we just can't go through life keeping to ourselves and not really trying to interact with other people. You know, we all need that.
We do.
When God wants to use us,
yes,
as a vessel. We,
yes,
don't get out there every day. We don't know what he might be wanting us to accomplish, you know?
You are so right on. Both of you are. And I don't know which one of you said it, but what you take in is what you give out, right? So, you know, if you eat correctly and you are, you know, eat the right things and drink a lot of water and all that, your body is healthier and healthier, and it comes out and you have more strength, you have more stamina, you have more energy. But it's so true, the same thing with our spiritual lives. When, like these wise virgins, when they had taken enough oil, they had prepared for when the bridegroom was going to come. They were ready. They were spending time stirring up that presence of God within them. That's what that oil signifies. I am going to play a song I played last week, and I don't usually do that, but it's on my heart today, and it's Days of Elijah. And this time we're going to hear the Twyla Paris version of it. But I'll tell you, I believe that this is what we need to hear right this moment.
Of famine and darkness and sore.
Yes, he does. He's on his way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Behold, he comes. Woo, Nan's in the studio in there, girls, and she's gotten a poem, I believe. Right, Nan?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Share it with us.
Will you share me with others? They need to hear about my son. Look around to those in need so that my will in your life will be done. My son is coming so soon, little ones. Reach out to those who are in need. Go ahead, share with them about him. Move forward planting those seeds. It was interesting. In two different times, he inspired in here to look around at those in need.
Yes.
And that's what, you know, we need to share with them about our forever heaven.
Whoa.
And reach out to them because they're hungry.
And you're so right, which is a perfect segue, Nan. Great poem. Great segue into Matthew 25, beginning with about verse 31. And here is Jesus continuing to teach in Matthew 25, and he says, when he finally arrives, he's talking about himself, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him. And now he calls himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Jesus is predicting, telling us what is going to happen. When he finally arrives, he's going to take his place on his throne. Then, he says, all the nations will be arranged before him, meaning Jesus, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep on the right, goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. Here's why. Now, I want to make a couple points there. Jesus is saying, let me give you a glimpse of what's going to happen at the end of this age that we know as our normal life here. There is going to be, when Jesus comes blazing with his angels, he will take his place on his throne, and then he's going to begin to sort people out. Quite interesting. The king will say to those on his right, enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you, this kingdom. In this kingdom, it's been ready for you forever. And he said, here's why, that you will be those, and boy, I want to be those sheep, one of those sheep on the right. I know Betty and Cindy and Nan feel the same way. And then I'm going to go to you both for comments here in a minute. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. I was homeless. You gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. Then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you a drink? When did we ever see you sick or in prison come to you? The king will say, and here's what I want you both to comment on. I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Betty, talk to us, and then we'll go to Cindy. Woo!
Well, I tell you, that's a powerful statement right there.
Right there.
Because we have to have that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play in our lives. This is where, if we're taking in the Word of God, if we're taking in goodness, and we're taking in a song of hope, like that song said about Elijah, is that we have to stand up for him. It is time that we take the shield of faith and we stand up and be ready for what God has for us. And it comes out with a message of hope. It comes out with a message of Jesus' compassion, that we are an extension of Jesus' hand, that he wants us to be like him. He wants us to lead a godly and holy life, so that when people look at us, they'll say, there is something different about you, you know, or someone you just have to let go of self and maybe think of others for a change. And for some, that's hard. It's like seeing someone who's struggling with a toddler or someone who's dropped their purse on the ground or whatever, or you have a ministry of taking care of the elderly, or you have a ministry of sitting behind a desk or a waitress or whatever, is that you let God's light shine through
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
And it's not
easy
to
do. Yeah, but it's not.
It's not easy to do. No.
It's not easy because why? Why is that not easy? Betty, I agree with you. That's what Jesus is saying here.
Fear.
Fear.
Is one.
I agree. God has not given us the spirit of fear, right?
Fear, but of love, power, to the sound mind.
Right.
And, sorry, I'm fired up.
You go ahead. I am too. Nan will tell you, I've been that way all day. I've been crazy.
And it's just like seeing, having the Holy Spirit, the oil.
Right.
To let whatever God wants you to do, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
There's a spirit of timidity.
Yes.
Where, I'm afraid that, if I say something to them, that they're going to reject me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they rejected Jesus, people.
Right. They
and
did.
It comes at a cost, is that if we don't tell them, who's going to?
That's exactly right. And we've been given this charge to do these things. Be there for people. Help them in their difficult times. Cindy, comment on this, please. I know Cindy's got to go pretty soon. She's got a lot on her plate today. But I want you to comment on this whole concept here, Cindy.
Well, and just what we're talking about is exactly what's going on in my personal life. And I'm just really getting to fed up. I'm fed up. God has put this sense of a burden in my heart to help people.
Amen.
And to recognize what they need. And some of these people are not people that are very well liked.
Right. Yes.
They may not be lovely people.
Right.
And I really like what Betty said about what you take in is what you put out. If you're not careful, this just happened to me recently, so much anger and so much selfishness and rudeness and just, wow, when you get to taking enough of that, I caught myself starting to behave like these other people were.
It's easy, isn't it?
This is the honest truth. Let me tell you something. This one customer, and I am a server in the Public, she really frustrated me. I want to say she made me angry, which she shouldn't have. It was just her behavior.
Right.
And I kind of caught myself acting the same way towards her.
Yeah.
So when she left my receipt, and you know where the tip line is?
Yeah.
Her tip to me was be nice.
Oh, my.
Wow. I said, wow, to myself. This is how I was interpreted because I had impression I made was not lovely. So, I had to look at myself and say, gee, you're becoming like these other people by your actions. Is this what you want people to see?
Right.
Is this Jesus in you? No, you're not being very lovely right now. So, you have to be careful and not let people push you to limit of becoming, like the rest of the world.
Right.
And there's such a burden on my heart to help others. And to see what they need and maybe pick them up off the street, take them into my home, just whatever the need is. And I may have to go a little outside my comfort zone or do a little extra. And, and I do this because I feel like this is what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
But the rest of the outside world or my family, friends, or whatever people in my world would say, why are you burning yourself out like that? Why are you stressing yourself? Why are you taking that burden on? Why are you doing this? Well, you know, I just feel like I have to do certain things for people because God has put them in my path.
If God puts them in your path,
that,
right.
He's given me that order to do this. And I'm beyond fear of doing what God wants me to do to a point where it's just become a boldness.
Right.
And I feel like time is short. You know, we have to do these things to get people ready, to get people right with the Lord, too, to share this message, because there is a sense of urgency.
Yeah, there
We don't have time to be afraid to step out.
And you know what? You're so right, and you're also so true about the times in our lives when we find ourselves taking on the characteristics of other people, the way they're behaving. It almost like it gives us a license to be rude, too. If they're going to be rude, we can just be rude, you know? And that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to listen intently to his voice and watch for those open doors when they come and not be afraid to go out of our comfort zone, maybe to be nice or to be sweet to somebody. Wow, that tip. I won't forget that, Cindy. I bet you won't either, that tip you got. Wow.
No, that really left an impression on me to put myself, take a look at myself. You know, what are you becoming? How are you behaving?
Wow.
You're not the usual smiling, you know, godly person and Jesus-like that you normally are. What's happening?
Right.
And I also think a lot of that comes when we get tired, you know, the stress kind of sets
it does.
In. And where our wheels start turning, and maybe I've been feeling a little overwhelmed.
Sure.
Sometimes we can take on too much.
Right. All of that is true. We can do that. Yeah. Go ahead. So, did you finish?
It just made me have to take a look at me and stop for a minute and get back into the Word or get back into communication with the Lord and say, what's happening?
That's
it. Why am I feeling like this?
Yes. Yeah.
But we get busy, just busy sometimes, and we leave out that we have to read the Word or we have to encourage ourselves and build ourselves up before we can. We don't have enough food to give others if we're not feeding ourselves.
Well, that's it. And I think this is cool in Matthew 25 where Jesus brings it down to, hey, guys, it's not about how many deep sermons you can preach. It's not about how many millions of dollars you were able to give to somebody. He's talking here about everyday living. Kindness is what I see here, where we go above and beyond to not be rude, to be kind, to say an encouraging word to someone. Betty, talk about that before we go to this next song.
Well, I go back to age. There was a time when there was...
Because you're getting older? Is that it?
I am getting older.
Oh, okay.
But thou is oldest, more older than me.
Okay.
So, is WWJD?
Yes, that's it. What would
Jesus do if you were put into a circumstance? And a lot of it is I'm going to relate to a friend of mine who does a lot of driving, not an Uber driver, but she's a shopper. And I noticed that a lot of times we have road rage is because someone cut us off or someone just, maybe they got their driver's license at Kmart.
At Kmart? I didn't know you could do that.
Kmart or Walmart or Meijer.
All right,
public, whatever.
Okay.
What I'm trying to get at is that we have to watch. People are watching us.
They are.
And guess who else is watching us too? Is the Lord Jesus Christ?
He certainly is.
And sometimes he has to refine us.
Yeah.
He has to like the branches of sometimes he has to trim off some of those ugly edges so that we have we can bloom, that
exactly.
We can reach out, that we can have a healthier life, I'd say a more close relationship with
right.
Him because I feel like the closer we are to Christ, the more we can be Christ-like.
Oh, amen.
In the things that we encounter on a daily basis.
Amen. And when we look at him and his life, Jesus, as he walked the earth, he didn't care about being inconvenienced. He, when they said, come, you know, my servant's dying or whatever, he went. So often the disciples had questions or people around him had needs, he ministered to those needs. And I want to do this song by Chris Tomlin right here. It fits in perfectly. Good, good Father, one of my favorites. But that's who he is. And he is our example.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
God, that's who he is. He's a good, good father. And he loves you, dear listener. He loves you so very much. He has great and wonderful blessings in store for you. Promises that he wants to make happen in your life. Wow, I love that song. Cindy, I know you need to get off the air and go to your other obligations, but you want to just sum up whatever's on your heart right here before we get to the top of this hour already?
Yes, I would love to. You know, each time I get on the radio is at a time where so much has been going on, and it, you know, right afterwards, it's like the Lord moved in my life with these, well, I call them projects, obligations, assignments. Call
right, sure. Okay.
But, excuse me, I got a loud train here. Hold on 1 second.
Are you there?
There we go.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm outside at a park. And,
okay.
And I'm actually in Tennessee today.
Oh, you're in Tennessee. But, okay. All right. Go ahead.
I'm visiting grandchildren. It, you know, it's like these, periodically, he'll put a burden for someone that needs to know the Lord or needs help in my heart. And then I'll go the extra mile, do everything I need to do to, you know, to help that person or to set the example or to let my light shine and let them know that, you know, tell them about Jesus. Let them know, see Jesus in my life.
Right.
And then, you know, I look at that and say, well, you know, God is trying to reach everyone as much as he can.
Yes, he
is. In our own families. Yes. And it's our obligation. I mean, I feel this burden. If I don't share this message or I don't live this example to every day, to the end of the day, without wavering, then I have not done everything that I could possibly do before he comes back.
Sure.
At the end of the day, I want to know that whatever he asked me to do, that I didn't miss it. You know?
That's right. That's right.
For that one person, and I got a personal example right now, that one person, if I had not reached out and did what God asked me to do, they may not make it. You know,
right.
They may not make it to heaven.
Right.
They may die before they get that opportunity to hear about Jesus and to settle
Amen.
their in their spirit to
right.
know that they know that they're going to be in Jesus' arms. So I feel like the sense of urgency is more prevalent as each day passes.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
And I just, I see so much selfishness, and I see this at work so much selfishness in people's actions and behaviors.
Right.
That they don't have any regard at all for their actions or their rudeness or their selfishness. They don't even realize it sometimes.
Unfortunately, you're right. Yeah.
What kind of impression they're leaving.
Yeah.
And I see it so much that when I do, I want to, you know, I tell myself, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to leave that impression when I leave here today or when I speak to that person. When I walk away from them, I want them to remember me that, you know, the smile, the good gesture, or that helping hand, or just to be like Jesus. That's what I want them to remember.
Amen. And that's,
I don't want to get those tips
no.
anymore telling me to be nice.
No. And so, that's practical Christian living, and that's what we should be doing.
Exactly.
And pointing to Jesus through our lives. Cindy, it's been a joy to have you on today, and I know you have to go, and we'll see you Friday. I'll see you Friday, and Betty will see you Friday.
I'm so excited about that.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Contact me, and we'll make
that's
a plan.
Right. We'll make the time.
Prepare.
So it sounds like great. Thank you, Cindy, and we appreciate you being on. See you very soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
See ya.
Bye,
Betty. Bye, Nan. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Yes.
Bye, sweetie.
All right. So, Betty, would you please, I talked about our prayer line at the top of the hour, so I'd like for you to mention Facebook if you can. We're going to have a new Facebook post out sometime the next day or two. So would you just tell people what that is and why we do it?
Reaching people in a 17-minute social media setting. It's one of the things that we can do for ourselves is kind of an uplifting message.
Right.
That you can reach through the Facebook, through Marcia McAllister, for Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that, you know, God gives us an opportunity to share the gospel, to share an uplifting message, to be able to do it so that you can do it from any device. You can do it from your phone. You can do it from, you know, any media source. And it's just a super way to reach people and to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's available through Facebook. You can get on the Facebook page, and there are, I don't know how many, but they're all hashtag Forever Home, or they're all labeled. And Pastor Marcia has been able to be able to do this for what, almost a year and a half now?
Yeah, that's about right. Started a year ago, January.
And I tell you, they're inspirational. Please feel
check
free
them
to share them.
Yes.
And get as many people listening to the word as we possibly can during
Amen.
The week or anytime at night. If you're asleep and you can't sleep, you can click on those as you can the shows and listen to what Pastor Marcia may have a word for you that may encourage you or get you through a difficulty thing in your life.
Sounds great. And
I think they're wonderful.
Well, you listen a lot. I know you do. So you can go to our Beacon of Hope Ministries Facebook page. It's the Beacon of Hope that has a lighthouse. It's got a lot of different colors in it. Or my page, as Betty just said. We're coming up on the top of the hour. We've got to do station ID right here. And then we are going to have a second hour. We're getting into 2 Peter chapter 3. If you have your Bible and want to join us.